is CBSI in the World. This is the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. We're off to what appears to be a paradise, Canaima National Park, southeast Venezuela. I believe it's 16% of the Amazon. The Amazon itself is a phenomenon that I underline dates from the death of the dinosaurs 66 million years ago. What created the neotropical forest that spreads through Central America and then is dominated by the story of the Amazon? The same asteroid comet that struck and removed the reptiles from Masters of the Earth and made room for the mammals. That's us. Okay. So the Amazon is not only a treasure, is not only part of the breathing of the planet, the health of the planet, but it represents paleontological phenomena. This is the day the Earth changed in living color. And that color is never more spectacular than what I've seen of Canaima National Park from photographs. This is an article most recently about alarm bells, something bad is happening in Canaima, a UNESCO World Heritage Site. So you would believe there would be more attention about the Amazon being damaged. We know we hear this story routinely out of Brazil, but this is the first time I even knew about Canaima. Evan, a very, very happy thing to discover Angel Falls, which you tell me has been featured in a Disney movie, the world's tallest uninterrupted waterfall, and these spectacular highlands that raise above the Amazon. But what is going on underneath the highlands, underneath the canopy, is raw exploitation. And as far as I can tell, this is entirely enforced and, in fact, directed by the Maduro regime. Is that correct?
It is, John. And it's really one of the great tragedies, what's going on in Venezuela and in elsewhere. And to some degree, the politics and the focus on Caracas obscures, especially for environmental groups out of Europe and elsewhere, just at the level of degradation. Want to call out a group that does a very, very important work there called SOS Orinoco that really has exposed a lot of this. But what has happened under Maduro is really been a franchising out of the interior of Venezuela to various different criminal groups. As we've talked about in the show, you had the permission of the ELN from Colombia coming in to displace and bring order to the sindicatos and the prenas that used to basically order the illegal mining sector in what they call the Orinoco mining arc. We've seen other groups such as the FARC dissidents and also Segundo Marquetalia coming in Apure. But one of the results of that is that all throughout the territory, you've had rampant mining. And indeed, in 2016, the Maduro regime officially essentially opened up everything other than national parks. But it's in national parks such as Canaima with Angel Falls. It's really throughout the region. There's mercury poisoning, something like, for example, the Canaima River. The estimate is 70% of that is polluted by mercury, which affects kids. And obviously, it affects wildlife. You know, the open pit mining that is done affects biodiversity. But frankly, it goes beyond even the mining sector. All of the other sectors that have been neglected by Maduro, for example, the lack of care, the negligence of safety protocols and other things, and investment in the petroleum sector. You've had just one oil-related disaster after another with PDVSA. In 2016, you had a pipeline spill in Zuategui that caused perhaps 100,000 barrels of oil being released. Just a couple of days ago, you had a major explosion of a lack of, you know, of an uncared for, you know, essentially a natural gas pipeline. Again, something that actually showed up on satellite images of Venezuela. Not too long ago, you actually had a loaded oil tanker sinking off of the coast, you know, releasing oil. So the Maduro regime itself, in addition to, you know, what it's done, pushing out 7 million Venezuelans and others, has been an environmental disaster, not only for Venezuela itself, but for the entire other regions that are connected to it. And as you point out, John, the Amazon doesn't just end with Jair Bolsonaro's Brazil. The Amazon extends into the vast majority of Brazil's neighbors. It extends into about half of South Venezuela up to the Orinoco River. It extends into Ecuador. It extends into Peru. It extends even in a certain way into you know, Colombia and the east of Colombia. And so it touches a vast part of the region that we don't often think about.
I read from the Financial Times report, this is the Canaima National Park and environments, armadillos, anteaters, cougars, jaguars, sloths, tapirs, monkeys, frogs, snakes, macaws, hummingbirds, toucans. And this bit, this is when they sold me, Evan, 500 species of orchids, 500 species. And then we move on to other, I can imagine how many butterflies. So we're talking about a treasure land that is being ravaged deliberately, plundered because of the regime in Caracas. I had never heard this story. You and I have talked at length about the leveling of the Amazon in Brazil for farming, for crops, for the agriculture sector. We've talked about the mining and the illegal and legal mining in Brazil, and Bolsonaro stands accused of being indifferent to the Amazon. But I do not recall at any point the voices in Washington or at the UN or even in Europe being raised about what is happening to the Canaima. Is this a new revelation? Has this been sidelined in some fashion? We've talked about how Maduro has grown in strength this last year and that this regime possibly could last another 50 years.
Well, for those of us who follow Venezuela, this is certainly not news. This has been going on for, you know, at least a decade, if not more. Certainly things have gotten worse in the past 5 years or so. But in part, it's a matter of where the media is located and focused. So, for example, not too long ago, you had an oil incident in Japan that resulted in enormous international attention and condemnation. But there was an incident about the same time in Venezuela that was about three times the size, and crickets, frankly, from the media on that. You have, you know, other issues. I mean, for the Venezuelan elections, you had the Europeans sending an observer mission, you know, largely validating that election. And the Europeans are very critical of Jair Bolsonaro in Brazil. And yet, almost nothing said about what is going on in Venezuela. And frankly, it goes beyond even that. I remember, for example, when there were a number of fires during a drought period under Jair Bolsonaro, but there were just as many fires and just as much environmental degradation under the part of the Amazon that stretches into Bolivia with Evo Morales. And again, for all of the European criticism and the French criticism of Brazil's Amazon, not a word about what was happening with the same type of abuses in the Bolivian portion.
The gold mining, for those who are fans of The Treasure of the Sierra Madre, the great John Huston movie, you get paid in gold. You can change it into cash on site, but at a really bad exchange rate. Otherwise, you take it to Puerto Ordaz, which is a city north of Canaima, and get it melted down and turned into a little ingot. Then you can sell it for more. Evan, this feels timeless. It feels like the Canaima National Park has been turned over to the 19th century idea of how do you build a fortune. You take a weapon and you plunge into the jungle and you come back either on your shield or with it. And that's what sounds like is going on in Venezuela. There's a romantic element to this, but also we can imagine the mortality rate working these rivers and these conditions. Are those Venezuelans? Are they importing people from outside? Do we know where they're getting these young men who I see a photograph of them wading through a river with high-pressure hoses, spraying the bank in order to bring the gold out. Are those Venezuelans?
You do have an increasing number of Venezuelans, especially because other sources of income in the Venezuelan interior have dried up under Maduro and Chavez, including tourism and agriculture and the other opportunities. And so those Venezuelans who live in the area and haven't left, that's one of the ways that they can earn what little they can scrape together. But you also have other groups of people who actually come into the sector. And it's not just Venezuela. It's also a problem in the interior of Guyana and the interior of Suriname and elsewhere. You have everyone people from the Caribbean, from Haiti, elsewhere, who work in these. But it's difficult to describe conditions of human suffering, more acute in human exploitation than you get in these, because these are often run not only in horrible health conditions. Again, people directly exposed to, chemical infested waters, living under very unsanitary conditions in tropical conditions, organized by criminal criminal groups, oftentimes with associated criminal economies involving, you know, prostitution and various other type of activities. I mean, life is hard, brutal, and short in these type of mining operations. And at the end of the day, it's not the people that work there, just like the 49ers, but, you know, an order of magnitude worse. It's actually ultimately the, you know, the sindicatos, groups like the ELN that really control this. And at the end of the day, you know, a lot of that gold flows to the Maduro regime and helps keep them in power in ways that their oil income is not.
Let's talk about Maduro then and his boasting that the Venezuelan economy, this most recent report, has grown 7.6% over the last year. There are economists who are speculating that it will grow next year and the year after. This follows the economy having shrunk by 75%. So growth is not too surprising. Credit Suisse says it'll grow 8.5% this year, and the inflation will moderate under double digits. It was 686% last year, so moderating is a good idea. But can we trust these numbers, Evan? 7.6% growth, says Maduro.
These are basically narco dollars being repatriated and spent in Venezuela to import products. They're really not productive activities. If you go back, Hugo Chavez and later Maduro did three big areas of things to destroy the Venezuelan economy. Number one, they took what was once one of the best petroleum companies in all of Latin America, PDVSA, and they politicized it and they destroyed it and they stopped investing. And so they took basically Venezuela's cash cow petroleum from over 3 million barrels a day down to, you know, under 500 at its worst. Number two, they tried to essentially statize the rest of the economy, which destroyed any incentives for production, whether it's agriculture or various other industries, and made everything about petroleum. And number three, as you pointed out, they tried to control the exchange rate in ways that were set up for their own profit. But what that meant is that companies couldn't import services paid in dollars. And if you couldn't get access to supplies and things like that, you had to shut down production. And so between those three areas of things over the course of, you know, a decade to two decades, they completely obliterated the economy. And so ironically, at the end of the day, with the only productive activities in Venezuela largely being, you know, earnings from narco dollars, the extortion of remittances and other things like the activities at the border and the illegal gold mining, with those illicit income, which is paid in hard currency dollars, the idea was, well, we should, you know, we should allow dollars to be spent and those dollars can be used to buy services. And so tragically in Venezuela today, you have those people who have the connection to that essentially criminalized, dollarized economy, creating this artificial doom. While the majority of Venezuelans who haven't left are surviving the best they can on salaries that are just completely inadequate on the order of, you know, $1, $2 a day or less. And so it's about narco dollars and essentially spending in a criminalized economy.
Professor Evan Ellis, U.S. Army War College. We're speaking of the Amazon forest that is in Venezuela. We're going to turn to the riches of Latin America, South America in particular, in natural resources and the puzzle that is observed, a divergence between the price of commodities such as copper and the growth of the economies producing the copper. They've diverged dramatically. This is the New World Report. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.